Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Spire Small Business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. And you're going to be glad you're with me because we got our good friend Joan Pride back on the show. Joan is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, welcome back.
Jim, good to be back.
It's good to have you back. It was good to see you last night. Yesterday,
I know. That was
afternoon.
Fun. Wow.
Yeah, Joan came over and from Kiplinger's office and we had a little visit for a few minutes. We don't get to see each other that often.
No,
a couple times
don't.
A year maybe.
That's right.
Yes, it was good to see you. Joan, one of the things that Kiplinger talks about, the first thing that you guys are talking about this week is the issue of commercial real estate. Now, I've been warning my audience now for about a year or more. I know they thought I was being kind of negative or, whatever. But I just have to, as you guys do, we have to report what we see. And, I mean, it's part of my job is to be a cheerleader for small business and to be optimistic. And it's my nature to be that way. But there are some real serious issues out there, some headwinds to the recovery of the economy. And one of those is commercial real estate, isn't it?
Sure is. And you often accuse us of being a little Pollyanna about things, but I hope you notice that we're not being that way here.
Now, tell us about it.
Well, we say it's the biggest soft spot on the economy, and we say it'll be a drag on growth for at least a year, which is quite a while.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Let's talk about some of the issues, some of the specific issues that are there. I mean, we've got... And this issue, folks, remember when the AIG, they were trying to decide whether to save AIG, Joan?
Yeah.
And one of the big issues that they said, I'll never forget this, we don't know who all the counterparties are.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And now, in the case of the commercial real estate, we know there are a lot of counterparties. The good news is we know who they are. Because we know which banks are involved and who the mortgagees and the mortgagors are, we know all that. But it's there are a lot of counterparties, and unfortunately, some of the counterparties in these commercial real estate deals are independent community banks, especially in certain states like Georgia, Florida, Arizona, Las Vegas, California. Mm-hmm. Right, Joan?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
And so there are going to be some, and you guys report that this week, Joan, there are going to be some bank failures this year, and probably already have been, but the ones this year, a large part of the bank failures this year probably, Joan, are going to come from the final resolution of some of these real estate especially commercial real estate transactions, and they're going to take down. There are going to be some independent community banks, Joan, that are going to go down possibly because of one transaction.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been talking to some of my bank friends, and these are banks who are probably sick already, but one transaction is going to tip the scales. And of course, that's what you guys are talking about here. The vacancy is still, you guys say the vacancies are still happening, right?
Right. We say they won't top out till about the end of this year. And we say it would top out around 17.5% for offices, and for industrial property, 15%. And we say that's a record.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, this is folks, this is catastrophic. For the commercial real estate industry, this kind of vacancy is catastrophic. And so this is one of the reasons why you've heard us say over the last year or so, Joan has, and I have as well several times, if you're leasing space, not in every case, but in many cases, you are in the catbird seat. You should be able to negotiate a pretty good deal. Don't be afraid to ask. Because, Joan, right now, And again, not in every case, but in many cases right now, people who own commercial real estate, they're glad to have a tenant. And their goal right now is not to get fat off of your rent. Their goal is to make sure that they don't lose the property.
Well, the worst they can do is say no, and I think in this situation they probably aren't going to say no. At least it's a good shot that they won't.
Well, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And so think about that, folks. I mean, and they're talking about vacancies. Sort of think of it like unemployment. You know, unemployment is still dropping. We're still losing people, losing jobs. Now, the good news is the rate's not as great as it was, but we're still losing jobs every month, and we're still losing occupants to commercial real estate every month. That's, and as Kiplinger says, that's going to be continuing. At least it's not going to bottom out until after the end of this year, of 2010.
Right.
We'll take a quick break. Joan Pride is our guest. We'll be right back. More to come. One of the things we're going to do is look at the global forecast for the economy, for the global economy, some interesting numbers that they have on their homepage. Stay with us. 22. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with us. That's Spencer Davis Group bringing us back, by the way. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Joan Pride is with Kiplinger's, the Kiplinger editors, and their website is kiplinger.com. You can find all their publications there. And also, Joan, you guys got a phone number too, don't you?
We sure do. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
So check that out, folks. And the Kiplinger letter, the one we work off of every week, you can find that there. I encourage you to subscribe to that. And find their biweekly letters and their magazine, too, the Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine. Lots of good stuff there at kiplinger.com. Joan, one of the things that I wanted to before we leave the real estate thing, lenders are going to be cutting deals. You know, they've got religion now on what the reality is of where things are going. And they've got to be sitting at the table and trying to work some things out. And so, folks, if you have a commercial real estate deal that's sucking wind, as we say, and you try to work it out with your lender. And Joan, you're reporting this week that regulators are urging lenders to work things out. See, this is good news, because usually the regulators are the ones who are telling bankers to drop the hammer on somebody if they're not performing.
Yeah, but now they're urging forbearance.
Yeah, exactly, and that's a good thing. The other thing, Joan, is, and you guys report on this week too, which I think is important to point out, folks, even if you're not involved in any way, fashion, or form in the commercial real estate part of the marketplace, if you do business with banks, this is affecting you. This is one of the wet blankets that's going to permeate the entire banking system for really probably for the next couple of years, Joan.
That's right.
So, folks, think about that. Joan, let's move over and talk about the global forecast. I was watching Jeopardy the other day. I don't watch it much, but the other day I was watching it just before a news program was coming on, and it was a fairly new one. I guess I always thought they were in reruns now, but I guess it was a new one. And so the final question,
Final Jeopardy.
You know, the last question that
final
they do.
Jeopardy.
Yeah, we know where they do the song,
yeah.
You know, the Jeopardy song.
Do, 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 do,
exactly,
do, do, do.
Exactly. That last question was, what are the BRIC countries?
BRIC?
BRIC countries.
B-R-I-C-K?
B-R-I-C. You know what a BRIC is, don't
BRIC?
You? You would have You mean you would have missed this question?
Yeah, well, what was the category?
It was economy. I don't know. But what are the BRIC countries? And I, none of the three knew the answer.
Yeah. And you knew?
And, of course.
Did you know?
Yes, of course I know. What do you mean, do I know? Joan, I know everything. You know that.
Well, that's true.
Brazil, Russia, India, China. Those are the BRIC countries. And none of those guys knew that. And so the fact that I knew it told me just about how much of a life I don't have.
Yeah. Well, right? What does BRIC mean?
It's just an acronym for those countries, those emerging economies.
Oh,
Brazil.
A group are they the top emerging economies?
They are considered to be those four countries are considered to be countries that are emerging and are having an impact on the economy, growing faster typically than the rest of the world.
So are you gonna sign up for Jeopardy now?
Oh, they won't let me on. I tried, but they were afraid I'd take too much of their money.
Yeah.
I actually looked into that.
Like that
said,
Ken
no,
Jennings
Jim, we've heard
guy,
about
yeah.
you, so you know you can't. You're a talk show host. You know everything.
Yeah, that's true.
And so
that's,
you know, that's what they said.
Yeah.
Anyway, so but back to BRIC. The reason I'm pointing this out is because on your chart here, the leading look at those countries that are doing well. I mean everybody else, folks, in the world is sucking wind. But China's 9.3%
growth.
I don't
think the U.S. is really sucking wind. I don't think 3% is sucking wind now.
9%, 9.3 compared to China, Brazil, Russia, India. China 9.3%, Brazil 5.5%, India 8.1%, Russia 3.6. And see, Russia 3.6, Joan, you know that that's like China at 9.1.
Yeah, but Mexico 4.5, South Korea 5.1.
Okay, but those aren't emerging countries. Those have already established.
Yeah.
These are countries that have typically, anyway, work with me, Joan. BRIC is a big deal. You're going to hear more about this.
Okay.
But I was at a conference yesterday. I told you about this conference I went to yesterday. And the guy there who gave the talk talked about a two-speed economy. And he's talking about one speed is Western Europe and the United States primarily.
Right.
Or somewhere around 2.5%, 3%. Two-speed global economy. And the other speed is BRIC and Mexico. You can throw Mexico in there if you want to. Yeah. These emerging economies are growing at a speed different from the established economies. And
right.
I think
well,
it's important to differentiate that. So anyway, as we look at this, as you said, the U.S. is 3%. I think that's rosy, Joan. I've told you before.
Okay.
I think we're going to do less than that this year, I'm afraid. The Eurozone, tell us what the Eurozone is, Joan.
Why do I have to do that?
I want you to tell us what it is.
1%.
1%. You said you got to say Mexico.
Yeah.
You got to do Mexico.
All right.
But no, Euros up, folks. You're 1%.
Yeah.
So, and folks, and Joan, guess what? If you remember, that's only about half of what it was over the last 10 years.
Well,
remember,
right,
when,
exactly.
I mean, most of the last decade, Europe grew at only around a couple of percent.
The Eurozone was going crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's not too good. And we talked about all the others. So anyway, the global economy as a whole is 3.3%. But Joan, that's not really very good when a lot of other people are pulling down. You know, we're pulling some folks down, and of course, 3%, as you point out, for the United States having a $13 trillion economy, that's a lot of production and a lot of businesses.
Right. Yeah.
Hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break. 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Joan Pride is my guest. We'll be back with more to come after these messages. We're back. 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Broadcasting live from Washington, D.C., from our nation's capital. Here broadcasting at the Export Bank, XM Bank, I should say, Export-Import, XM Bank, at their Exports Live 2010 conference. But right now I'm visiting with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, I want to talk about taxes in a second, but before we go there, on page 2, something here I wanted to read that you guys reported on, I'm glad you did. Under an executive order likely to be signed by the president soon, President Obama. Firms that offer good benefits and pay will have a leg up on competitors in securing government contracts. So this is a level of scrutiny. Folks, I'm not making a value judgment. I just think, Joan, it's important that we tell people this.
Okay.
You guys reported it. I'm glad you did. Good job.
Thank you.
But, folks, this is a level of scrutiny that we haven't seen in the past. Mm-hmm. This is Davis-Bacon, the Davis-Bacon Act, Joan. You know what that is.
Oh, yeah.
That's been about the most that we've had in the past in terms of government scrutiny of how you run your business if you want a government contract.
Yeah.
But this is another level of scrutiny. Well, I don't think we have any details, do we?
I don't think so, no.
There are no details about what that means. You know, do you have soft toilet paper in the bathrooms? You know, I don't know how far they're going to go with getting into your business, but this is something I think we need to be reported. And so, folks, just pay attention to that. If you're looking for government contracts, just be ready. They're going to look into your health care, your pension, your retirement plans, probably your comp leave, your whatever. But, you know, it's just be forewarned is forearmed. Joan, on page four, you guys talk. You have some do some good reporting on taxes. Tell us about this.
Big court case. It's only the district court level, so there's ways to go, but bears watching. This court says that if you've laid off workers and voluntarily terminated them and you paid them severance, you and they do not owe Social Security and Medicare tax, also known as FICA tax, on those severance payments. Now, this is only the district court level, so you got to keep paying that tax. But we recommend that if you're going to lay off workers or if you've laid them off within the last 3 years, you should file what's known as a protective refund claim, which is a refund claim that IRS is not going to honor, but it's supposed to hold it in abeyance until all the appeals are exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be huge if IRS loses at the appellate level.
So if you laid off somebody and you paid them a month's severance or a week's severance or whatever, and it was $1,000, let's say, then you don't have to pay the taxes on that severance.
Well, theoretically, you still should go ahead and do that for now.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's what's being debated. It's what's being judged, being determined by the court.
Yeah, the ruling says that severance is not subject to Social Security and Medicare tax.
But as of right now, it's still the law of the land. You got to keep doing it.
But if this passes,
and it may go, it wouldn't surprise me the IRS doesn't take it all the way to the Supreme Court.
It could, but apparently our people
if it passes,
say that,
then you'd get that money back.
Right. Our people say the reasoning in this decision is better than in previous ones, so this might have a better chance of holding up in the long run.
Right.
Or at the appellate level.
All right. Okay. What else?
Well, that's it for taxes, really.
That's a big thing. Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's fine. So folks, pay attention to that. And, you know, this is, Joan, this is, the thing about this, what you're just telling us and all this, this is all something that big companies have people who handle these things.
Oh, sure.
Who may not always have enough to do.
Right.
And so when a little thing like this drops into the lap, this is just another project for them to deal
something
with. And
for
they
them
take
to
care
do. Yeah. But a small business owner, they got a million other things to do. You know, they got to keep the business going. That's the most important thing.
And this
is money in their
this
pocket.
Is not only a new job for them, Joan. Mm-hmm. It's another worry.
Right.
It's another thing on their mind. It's something else to keep up with. And we have this little random access memory thing going in the back of our mind that has all these little things rolling around in it that we know we're going to have to take care of. We've got to be worried about it. We don't really know what to do about it. We don't know how we don't know if we're going to be able to fix it. I got to remember this. I got to file that back. And it's just an agitating kind of thing. And folks, I'm not making excuses. I'm not saying, you know, if you can't deal with that, don't be a small business owner. But these are the kinds of things that small business owners have to deal with at the CEO level for most small businesses. And a lot of people don't realize it's just one example of why monkeys aren't in small business. It's not easy. Hey, Joan.
Yep.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Jim.
It's always a pleasure. Good report today.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. I got to go for this hour, actually for the day, but I'll be back broadcasting regular from my home base next tomorrow. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.